3 Nephi chapter 14, the first five verses, it talks about not judging. And what is that saying is, do not look to other men and try and judge what they're doing, but look to yourself. And again, it's defining judging is not the idea of looking about the world to learn from what other men are doing and then judging how that should apply to yourself. But that's why it then goes on to talk about looking and going to the other man and talking about the mote that's in his eye, meaning don't be going out there judging other people to tell them what to do, but look to yourself and decide what all your experiences are telling you to do. Again, the point is to look to yourself. Again, it repeats this over and over again, that your work, the Lord's work, is you. It's not someone else. And this idea that you can, that going out and converting another and changing another, this is what you'll receive your reward for, is totally incorrect. The Lord's work is you. Put your eye to yourself and work on your work on yourself, and the Lord will work on others. And if He wants to use you as an instrument, then that's fine. But your concern is to work with Him. And then it goes on to explain this more in verse 6, for instance. It's saying that if you think that you can perfect others, then you would go out and you would give the wisdom of God to the wrong people, and they would just mock that and trample that. So you need to concentrate on yourself again, and the Lord, when He uses you as an instrument for someone else, then he will select the people, or He will send you to the people that He has prepared to receive that word. Or He will send you to people that He is just giving an opportunity to receive that word as part of their judgment. But you don't know the reason why He's sending him there. Your job is to be His instrument, and then the work will be done properly. Again, in 7 and 8, it's saying you concentrate on yourself. You ask what you need. And so you seek for the things that will improve yourself. And if you seek for those things, then you will receive those things. Again, the Lord knows what you have need of, and He will give you things that are of real value to you. He'll give you a gift, and included in these gifts is that He would give you things to make you happy. And if you desire that Corvette and you want it, He'll give you that Corvette. But then you need to be careful that it does not end up in your condemnation, but your Father in heaven, just like your Father on earth. If you truly seek Him, He will give you things just because He's overwhelmed with His love for you. But your desire should be wise and be, again, seeking those things that you know that He chooses, not the things that you choose. And so then in verse 12, it's saying that you would not want men to come up and point out the mote in your eye. You don't want everybody else coming in and sticking their nose into your business. You want to go to your Heavenly Father yourself and find out from Him. And then maybe you'd like to have some comfort and strength and help from others. So think about that. And that's the way you should then treat others. And if you wanted to know something, then you'd go ask someone, would they help? So maybe you could offer, or would you like to talk with me, is the common phrase. Well, and then if he asks you then specifics, then you can give it. But that'll provide the proper atmosphere. But you're doing it because that's what you would want, not because you're trying to go around correcting everyone else. And so the biggest point, though, is, here is mostly leave others alone and concentrate on yourself. And that's what it gets into then in verses 13 and 14, that you need to be concerned with that straight, that narrow, that single path to Christ. Now, it is straight and it's narrow, but this is not to bring fear on you. It is also clear. It is the path to Christ. It is anything that leads to Christ. If your mind and soul is centered on Christ, what He wants you to do, are you studying everything with respect to how does this lead me to Christ? What does this have to do with Christ? What does my life have to do with Christ? If everything is centered and focused on that, It is clear, and that's what it said is clear. That's where you know it is clear, no matter what is said to you, no matter what doctrine is given, no matter what you receive. If you relate that to Christ and you keep your eyes single focused, straight, and narrow, meaning focused on the Lord. And if you do that, then it will be clear and you'll make it through. And it'll be like an iron rod. And it's you that you can hold fast to. It's not something that's hard to see or hard to understand. That's only when you go off and want to murky up the vision by letting other things in. And one of the common things, then it gets to in verses 15 through 20, that you let in is you want to listen to other men. You don't want to trust the Spirit. So you go to other men. And it says, beware of other men. And that's what this said. And here it says prophets, which means to someone else. That's more than men. It's saying that people who claim to be prophets or who have positions in churches that are called prophets. Meaning it doesn't matter what the position or how powerful that man looks at, beware of man. Again, it says beware. When it says you're not making the judgment, well, I'll follow prophets, but I won't follow false prophets. You never follow a man, and no man in the Book of Mormon prophet has ever told you to do that. How do you know that he's a true prophet? By his fruit. And then you follow him, but that's easy. Because what is his fruit? His fruit is that he leadeth you to Christ. Christ is the only straight and narrow path. Therefore, any prophet, and like in the Book of Mormon or any other man, will always lead you to Christ and will always be pointing you to Christ, not to themselves, as we have today. Today, the church leaders point you to a church, point you to themselves, point you to the government. They will point you to other men. They point you everywhere but to Christ. You are to go to Christ and Christ only. And that is the fruit. The fruit is, if someone would say, well, what is the fruit of life? The fruit to God is man. He's going to the perfection of man and bringing these men unto him. But who does the work? The Lord does the work. And so you can hear that, no, he cannot help another man, that he is to focus on himself. That includes prophets. A prophet is being a prophet to perfect himself. He's being an instrument of the Lord, doing what the Lord told him to do. And therefore, he's carrying that message to you, but he is never claiming that he is there to perfect you. He is there claiming to give you the word of God. And that word is to go to the Lord. Again, then it goes on in verse 21 to explain more of the fruit or what good is. Good is doing the will of the Father, not doing the will of other men. And when it says the will of the Father, that has a connotation that it's personal. Lord, what is your will concerning me? What is it you want me to do? You are not out there determining the will for someone else. And that's not how you think. And so the Lord obviously is not, as it said here, is not giving some other man his will concerning you. He might kind of send a message through another man, and you receive that message, but then what do? You receive the message, you feel the Spirit on the message, and then you go to the Lord and you find out what he wants you to do. It's always based on that, and no matter how it is put into what kind of a package, or no matter what the flattering words of men, it is that all men who are men of God will be single to the Lord themselves and tell you to be single to the same and send you to them. And if when they deliver you a word, they then do not say it their word, their advice, or their anything, they say it's from the Lord. And all they are doing is acting as a conduit and suggest that you receive the word of the Lord, even if that word's through them. And I overstress the concept that men will set themselves up as false prophets, which means they will even claim that the word is coming from the Lord. But they will then tell you to follow them, and their words will not be in directing you to go on your own to develop your own relationship with the Lord. He further explains these false prophets or what men are like, that men will do many things in the name of Christ. And but this is not the requirement. Doing things in the name of Christ or doing things that you claim is good or because someone says is good, that is not the requirement of life. The requirement is, it says in verse 23, is to know Christ. He will say to you, I knew ye not. Obviously, if he knew you, you did not know him. If he did not know you, You did not know him. He is trying to make that very clear, that your responsibility is to know him. So you've got to go to him directly and personally and know him and do his will. It's a personal thing. And then he goes on to say, in fact, he will say to them, you do iniquity. So he will tell the church leaders of our day, you do iniquity. Why do you do iniquity? Because they've led all the people unto him. They've usurped the power and authority of the church and the supposed authority of Christ and said it is theirs and led people unto them. They do not point and direct people to Christ. They do not tell them to get to know Christ. They tell them to come to the church, to get to know the church, be part of the church. Let them direct them. They do everything and they do that they claim to be the work of Christ, of the Lord. They say everything that they're doing is the Lord's plan, but they do not direct you to Christ. And there is only one path, and that path is the one that is directed by Christ, and that it has Christ as your light, and is your light at the end of that path. He then goes on in verse 24 to explain that that is the rock, and that this is what the rock, and who is the rock again? The path to Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ is the rock, and if you make your eyes single to him, if he is your light, if you seek his will, this will be the rock. Everything else is the sandy. The church is sandy. The church leaders are sandy. All of these doctrines are sandy. And why do they say, why is it used sand? It means they're small rocks. I mean, you'll get glimpses of Christ here and there. You'll get glimpses of doctrine here and there. But there is no strength in it. And when the winds come and the power of the devil and the adversity of the world comes down in the last days, they will crumble and they will break apart. And that is a prophecy that we've seen in the Book of Mormon in the previous chapters. And we will see it come to pass. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints will break apart, will divide as sand. And that is what he said, because it has set itself up as the light to the world. It is by its own admission, a false prophet, because it claims that that is the path to eternal life. It is the only path to eternal life is Jesus Christ. That is the only rock.